Hysteria is brought to you by ZBiotics. Summer is right around the corner, which means your social calendar is about to be absolutely packed. I like living out my wildest extrovert dreams.
Who wrote this?
The only way for me to tolerate being around people for extended periods of time, and by extended, I mean for longer than 20 to 30 minutes, is to have at least one libation. Because otherwise, I'm like way too uptight, and they start bringing up things like,
Life.
And I have been bringing up history podcasts that I've been listening to. So, like, I was listening to a podcast about the fall of the Aztecs a while ago, and I was like,
"Oh, I remember that."
You have to stop bringing up Aztec rituals during conversations because it's weird.
Live your best life,
right? But something I like to do for future me is taking ZBiotics pre-alcohol before going out. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Like I said, if I'm going to go to like a summer event, I would like to have a cocktail.
I'd like to have a cocktail. Not everything agrees with me. I just take a little ZBiotic before I go.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy peasy. Don't really have to think about it.
Yeah, have a little ZBiotic. Have like a reasonable number of cocktails. Drink
one
water.
And a half is my number.
Yeah, I can't really go much more than that before I am waking up and having anxiety in the night. I'm too old.
Exactly. So, you know, Erin, July is packed with barbecues, fireworks, lake weekends, and late nights with friends. Keep the good times rolling into the next day. Drink pre-alcohol before you go out and wake up ready for whatever Sunday brings. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/hysteria and use the code hysteria at checkout for 15% off.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa,
You're
here in the studio with me.
I am.
A little over 8 years ago was our first episode of Hysteria, and a lot has changed. What's something from back then in 2018 that you wished you could bring back?
Erin, I'm not sure there's a lot from 2018 that we should bring back.
Uh-huh.
What happened in 2018? Aretha Franklin died.
Mm-hmm. You want to bring back Aretha Franklin?
I would bring back Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
That would be good. But the one thing I think that's like a bonus of the last 8 years is that we have to be close to the end of Trump's time on this planet.
Yes. Yes.
Really? I mean, like, that is I think it was our first emergency episode. No, there was... Okay, so we're thinking of two different ones.
Okay.
You're thinking of... Who retired? Kennedy?
Kennedy retired.
Right. That was our emergency episode. But then there was another episode not long after that. You were still living in New York City when Donald Trump said that Senator Kirsten Gillibrand used to come to him on her knees.
Oh, yeah.
And he was implying that she was giving blowjobs. And we called Senator Gillibrand and we're like, will you record an episode with us really quick? And that was our first real, like, you know, we got into the studio quick in New York on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure that there's much to bring back from back then. Just maybe he'll be done soon.
Maybe. Yeah.
And I don't mean, you know, I'm not wishing harm, but.
You know, I'm going to say this, higher quality clothing. Pre-2020 clothing was higher quality.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what I want to bring back. I want to bring back like 2012 quality clothing. I still have items of clothing from 2012.
Most of my sweaters that I have are old school, made in America.
Right. Like, I just want some things with like regular sleeves because in 2018 that was peak sleeve madness.
It was peak sleeve madness.
Today we get into Pete Hegseth's new testosterone policy. There's a man inside every soldier, and there should be a bigger man inside every soldier. And the latest on the Tate brothers' arrest in Miami wearing the Halloween costume of 2026. We're just predicting it now. Then we do a supersize, Sandy Petty, and sprinkle a little joy into the week to celebrate Alyssa's final episode. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that will sing the praises of estrogen replacement therapy from the rooftops.
For the next 20 years, I hope.
Yeah. Absolutely. Are you going to sing about, are you going to make a song up about it?
I will make a song about it. It'll be Put That Patch on My Ass. That's the song that I will sing. Give me my little pearly pill, because progesterone's like this little pearly pill.
Uh-huh. Estrogen, yeah. The musical. Estrogen.
The musical. The musical.
Yeah, I think that's maybe
guys, it's my next move.
I think that's your next act,
Broadway. Off Broadway.
If anybody can like cobble together the funding
For an estradiol.
Estradiol Broadway
a
musical.
A one-woman estradiol.
Show.
Protracted poem.
It would be you.
It'll be my odyssey.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that is to you what the odyssey is to Christopher Nolan.
It
100%.
Is.
100%. Wow. Let's see if Matt Damon's available. Maybe he can be like a side character.
I don't think you know.
Is there an Agamemnon character in this estrogen? Is Agamemnon how you feel when you're on the estrogen?
Yeah, okay. It is.
Okay.
You're just like, you can do it.
Okay. Amazing. Amazing.
But when you don't, you're between a rock and a hard place, which also comes from the Odyssey.
Which also sounds like something that Pete Hegseth would say as he slowly transitions into Tobias Fünke. The man cannot get a sentence out of his mouth without sounding like he is deeply in the closet and everybody knows except him.
The funniest thing in watching the Odyssey is just enjoying the fact that Pete Hegseth could never.
Yeah.
There's not one person. He wouldn't have survived Circe. He wouldn't have survived the ocean. She never would have turned his ass back from a pig. Like, he couldn't have done anything. And even if he were just a suitor, he'd have been the first to go, too.
I think Hegseth would have tried to make out with the eagle.
Yeah, it's about right.
And then he would have gotten clawed. And
take
like,
me away?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, let's talk about our...
He's at it.
Yeah,
he's at it.
He just blew himself.
Pete Hegseth's obsession with masculinity and the male physique has gone medical.
Okay.
He announced last week that testosterone deficiency tests will be added to the annual health screenings for military personnel age 30 and older. Can I?
Oh, God. We don't have enough guys who punch the wall enough. That's the problem with the military.
Which, so as it goes, any troops that have low testosterone results will be offered voluntary hormone replacement therapy. Gender-affirming care much?
Mm-hmm.
Troops under 30 can also request to be screened voluntarily. Why? Like, here's the thing about all this. I mean, let me finish. Hegseth claims that this move is to take care of a service member's long-term health. Are they getting colorectal screenings? Like, I mean, if we're talking about long-term health.
Yeah, are they giving them access to mental health care? Like, real access to mental health care?
Doesn't sound like it.
No.
Last month, the FDA proposed looser prescription limits for testosterone and removal of all safety language from TRT product labeling.
Okay.
So.
Well, the good news is these people probably don't read the labels. So, like, what's the point of even making them? Isn't it kind of a waste of a manufacturing step?
But it's like when you go through the fact that, like, we have – well, here's the interesting thing is that in HRT for women, there used to be a black box label about clots and contraindications.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the packaging – in those boxes, the removal of the black label warning is a contributing factor to the massive estrogen shortage
mm-hmm.
because the boxes just had to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not an issue, it seems, for these guys. Somehow they're fixing the boxes and getting the vials and getting them all set up. But here's the thing. Testosterone replacement therapy can indeed help men increase muscle mass and energy. However, it's got side effects.
No, can't be a downside. I want to be done listening before we hear the downside.
Should
I've
we go
heard
through
enough.
A couple?
Okay, let's
should
go.
Should we go through
let's
a couple?
Go. Let's see.
Okay, I listed them out here. Okay, so high blood pressure.
Okay.
Blood clots.
Okay.
Shrinking testicles.
Okay.
Which I don't even care about. I mean, that's like a personal problem. Swelling or enlarged prostate. Doesn't sound great. It
sounds really uncomfortable.
Severe acne and male pattern baldness. I think that's hilarious.
That's so funny.
I mean, imagine if, because here's the thing. We'll finish going through, but I just have such a excess testosterone. This is one I guarantee none of them know about. Excess testosterone can convert into estrogen, causing breast tenderness and enlargement.
Okay.
They can get boobies.
Wow.
Yeah. They can get boobies.
Boobies.
Increased aggression, which none of them need. Severe insomnia, impaired judgment, and rash decision making.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Also, infertility. That's the thing.
Infertility.
It's like, are we having a birth rate crisis or not? Because if we are, why are we trying to create a fully infertile military?
But here's the thing about all this. They don't need this. None of them need this. And the fact that they have made clear that, like, some of the regulations are going to, like, loosen up and the black box labels coming off. And it really feels like they're just going to go in and be like, hit me.
Yeah.
Like, that they're just, like, going to roid themselves up with testosterone.
Yeah.
And the funniest tell will be when all of – well, they'll have rage, which will be bad for everyone, but maybe male pattern baldness will plague them all.
I'm sorry. Like, okay. So here's my theory on it. I feel like I'm an armchair psychiatrist when it comes to Pete Hegseth because, yeah, like,
you're very good at
that much whoring around, that much drinking. There's, like, deep, deep shame in him. Like, he has something very deeply embedded that he's holding on to that he will not acknowledge. And it's our problem now.
What do you think Pete's crazy pastor would say about that? He's been kind of mum on it.
I don't know, but he looks like Doug Wilson,
yeah,
the pastor, the Idaho pastor. He looks like he is disintegrating. I don't know if you've seen, he is like looking very, he looks like the old kings in like in Lord of the Rings.
Like scurvy-ish?
He looks like he's gray. He's like getting, he's like turning into dust. He's not aging very well.
Do you think his bad vibes have eaten him from the inside out?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. But
take away a woman's right to vote.
He is not looking healthy. And like Pete Hegseth also during his testimony in front of, I believe it was the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
On Tuesday. Looking sweaty, my guy.
So sweaty. You could tell because they must have done like a finish over his makeup. Do you know what I mean? Because it was like beading.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't just like a schwitz.
Yeah.
It was, there were droplets.
Yeah. There's nothing, I mean, and that's not very masculine either, no. I don't think. But yeah, he was so sweaty. He looked so uncomfortable.
Very masculine. He put a special new makeup studio into the Department of Defense.
He was also so whiny. He was so like petulant and looked like a fool.
He's the equivalent of like, come on, guys, give me a break.
Oh, I want the money. Give me the money.
This is stupid.
Give me the money.
No one's ever come less prepared for any job.
And you know what? That's the tone with which he asked for money really brought to mind the fact that he torpedoed two separate veterans' charities with his mismanagement. Yeah. Partying and whoring. Like, he torpedoed them, and now he's being like, come on, just another trillion
dollars. Just another trillion.
I read somewhere yesterday that the amount of money that the administration wants for the war is the equivalent of $4,400 per American household. $4,400.
That's insane.
That is fucking insane.
To a lunatic.
The war is also costing American households money at the gas pump, like, and when they're paying for their power.
Coming and going.
Everything is costing more. And, like, they're literally, what he is doing, I'm sorry, like, I'm going off outline a little bit
because
we are supposed to be talking about testosterone. Maybe I have a little excess
of it today. Roid rage.
I'm feeling a little roidy. You know, what they are doing is saying this war, which we haven't explained, and nobody wants, we expect you to pay from your own pocket.
Right.
At least $5,000 each household. Please, come on. Give us this money for the, like, I can think of so many things that almost every American would rather spend that money on.
Absolutely.
I would rather give it to a teacher. You know what I mean? I would
clear some lists.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there are that is such a fucking waste of money. And the fact that he went in front of them all sweaty and being like, all right, war fighters, it's
war fighters.
He is such a silly, silly man. And he is so fucking silly. And this whole testosterone thing is fucking silly.
It's just another stupid expense.
It is. And it's kind of been a mask off moment for some conservative commentators. Yeah. Like there's a clip of Jesse Waters that's going around. Let's watch what he had to say about this.
He says you lose your endurance, muscle mass. So yeah, I want these guys on it. But you know what's going to happen? The guys that don't need it are going to take it. To triple boost.
Right.
And then they're going to get out there. And women on base, you guys better be careful. Port calls, women in Asia, you better be careful because these guys are going to be wild animals and you better watch out.
Okay.
Low tier.
You should have held his hand.
But I don't know if I would have.
So here's what's so deeply fucked about what he said. If you read what the Department of Defense is saying is, if you have low testosterone, we will basically top you up, is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. He's saying the truth, that we're just going to give you more testosterone, because if people just had, if men had the just correct level of testosterone, they would not be pillaging and raping, as he is saying. But he's the one telling the truth, that this is exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. They're going to top them up to become savage war fighters when they're like, we're not going boots on the ground anyplace. So they're just going to be like angry around each other. And then, so a lot of Asian news outlets had a lot to say about what Jesse Waters.
What a fucked up thing for somebody
to say. That's fucked up.
Also, like, he does not seem like he's got an appropriate amount of testosterone to me. I mean, I'm sorry. Like,
no.
When I think about a manly person, I'm not like, ooh, Jesse Waters and his burnt eyebrows.
Someone show me a picture or a video of Jesse Waters fixing anything.
Oh, yeah.
Chopping a log.
Oh, like, remember that video of Bernie Sanders lighting a stove with a single match?
Yeah.
So that to me, I'm not saying this in a thirsty way, because I would never, I don't want to have sex with Bernie Sanders.
That's fine. You don't have to clarify.
But we just did a show last week about like sexual insanity.
Right.
And, like,
right.
MAGA, among MAGA women. I think that is manly. Being able to light a wood stove with a single match, and I cannot picture Jesse Waters like knowing how to do anything.
There is nothing in real life that I can picture Jesse Waters doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I bet he uses dude wipes. I bet he has a difficult time
with his tush?
I think, yeah.
Gross.
I bet he has but he won't use the regular. I bet he's got a bidet. Which is fine. But like,
do you think?
If you're going to go out there and be like, oh, I'm fucking manly.
So
man.
Busted heads.
Isn't it going to be funny when all the, rape, that's going to be.
when like, if there was a list of masculine activities, you and I would probably outperform him in each and every one.
100%. I would actually probably beat him in a race.
I wouldn't, because I run like Hannah Horvath.
I haven't run in a really long time, but I did like recently lose weight, and so I'm lighter than I used to be. So I think that
I am scrappier.
Yeah,
I could take flight. I couldn't run, but I could take flight.
I tried to do push-ups yesterday for the first time in a really long time, and I was like, still got it.
I can do push-ups.
I could still do
it. You know what? I bet we could both do way more push-ups.
I could definitely
real ones, not the girl ones. I can do real ones.
I could definitely plank for longer than Jesse Waters. I could plank for longer than him.
Definitely.
I can definitely withstand more pain than him.
We could plank longer than Pete Hegseth.
Oh, yeah. Pete Hegseth, Prancing Pete, I don't think he can plank.
Oh, my.
Yeah, his little, like,
with his legs.
His little silly workout.
Such a loser.
Just, there's something so, like, I heard Michael Wolff, the journalist who is kind of a sleazeball, but not an idiot, describe Hegseth as like a ridiculous person.
He is.
And I think like that is the word to me that is the most apt about this whole thing. Like, Jesse Waters is a ridiculous person.
He's a ridiculous person.
These guys that are obsessed with manliness and masculinity from their offices, talking about war fighters and shit, where they are not in harm's way. They're ordering so many lobsters that they are
the
like—
lobsters.
They're ordering like hundreds and hundreds of lobsters to meet the budget needs of the—
They did. That's
right. To spend the budget, right? So like—
They did.
They are not— They're jokes.
They got like a new piano.
They are so silly. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. It is a ridiculous way to live. It is a ridiculous way to talk. When Pete Hegseth isn't like two camera wrestling, blah, 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 when he's not doing that, when he's in front of Congress, it is like, oh, holy shit, you are ridiculous.
He is not an intelligent person. Like, there are people with
but
whom we disagree.
But he used to be. That's the thing. He was the valedictorian of his high school class. He went
to
Princeton.
Right.
But he drank that shit away.
But then he signed up for weekend duty on Fox, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. He threw some axes that missed. Remember that?
Oh, my God. He hit a member of the Marine Corps
I
think.
That's right.
Yeah, a military band.
And it was all downhill from there. But any person who wears a flag tie and a flag— pocket square that don't even match, you're a cartoon fucker.
Mm-hmm. Flag hag.
He's a flag.
And he's also, again, and I know that, like, I say this all the time, I don't mean it to be like, I don't mean it to sound homophobic. What I mean it to sound is offensive to Pete Hegseth, who would hate to be called gay.
Yes.
He like him being like, I want you guys all to be shaved. I want you all to be in shape.
Like, right. It sounds like if we didn't know it was him and someone else were speaking it, it would sound like a form of erotica.
It would.
Yes.
Everything about him, like, we talked about this in our This Fucking Guy episode about Hegseth.
Yeah.
But everything he does is just like steeped in homoeroticism and a yearning for more men. I just want men everywhere, all the time,
all the time.
Me, around me, through
me. Hot.
It's like
jacked.
That's fine, dude. Like, just find a boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And also, just leave everyone in the military alone.
Meanwhile, 18 service members have died.
Yep.
And the Pentagon has gotten caught lying about how many have gotten hurt. It's hundreds.
It's 100.
I heard 400.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard it was over 100.
Over 100. It's 400. And the Pentagon was like, yeah, but a lot of them were concussions. And it's like,
That's hurt.
That's a form of getting hurt.
What does that mean?
Yeah, but a lot of them are broken arms. Well,
that's hurt.
You know, it's hurt.
Are they, wait, oh my God. The fact that we even have to question what their litmus test is for an injured soldier is injured to them, I bet, is only shot.
I mean, the thing is, like, this really brings into relief the fact that, like, it is sort of this, like, concern warrior kabuki that he's mm-hmm. doing. He's, like, acting like a warrior. And that's what Donald Trump likes, is people that right. act like they're from central casting. And Pete Hegseth looks like the head of a man who would be on a screen in a bad Transformers movie.
Selling supplements.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, listen up, soldiers. You know, like, we're in a video game or yeah. something, meaning, like, meant to be hokey. He's, like, a side character that, like, appears and you're whatever. It's just like they don't really care about the on the ground realities of
no.
the soldiers. They've hundreds
he's
of them
not
have been
going
hurt.
Over battle plans.
No,
he's not forming diplomatic relationships that could help keep us from having war. Like
no.
there is nothing. They are this isolated, roided out group of people.
He is fantasizing about manliness with his hand down his pants.
Totally. I mean, like, when you look back on past administrations and other secretaries of defense, they fly around the world meeting other secretaries of defense. Pete Hegseth has no role in our foreign policy aside from promoting testosterone. From, like, this is his only job. Like, that's the thing that people have to remember.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing nothing strategic. He is not actually a war planner. And we know that because we saw his small Yemen group chat.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, cat's out of the bag. But he is nothing but a cartoon character.
Yeah. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Ridiculous Men.
Hysteria is brought to you by Fatty 15. There's been a groundbreaking discovery to help us all age healthier, and it's thanks to helping dolphins, Erin.
Thanks, dolphins.
Thank you, dolphins. We're excited to share with you guys C15 from Fatty 15, the first emerging essential fatty acid to be discovered in more than 90 years. It is an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness, and you guessed it, healthy aging. Fatty 15 co-founder Dr. Stephanie Van Watson discovered the benefits of C15 while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of older dolphins, especially the lady ones that can get very sassy when they see boats they don't like.
Oh.
Right? Based on over 100 studies, we know that C15 strengthens our cells and is a foundational healthy aging nutrient, which helps to slow aging at the cellular level. In fact, when our cells don't have enough C15, they can become fragile and age faster. And when our cells age, our bodies age too.
We're all aging, which means that healthy aging starts from birth. Studies have shown that C15 is a foundational nutrient that supports healthy growth and development in children and supports our long-term health as adults. Fatty 15 has 3 times more cellular benefits than EPA and omega-3. By replenishing our cells with the crucial C15 nutrient, Fatty 15 effectively repairs cells, reverses aging-related damage at the cellular level, and restores our long-term health and wellness.
I got a look at my face.
You look great.
I know. Just a little plumper. Everything's a little brighter, a little tighter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Feel peppier, zippier.
Peppier and zippier. I think it's important to recall that it's always easier to maintain than it is to regain.
That's a good, yes, 100%.
So if you're concerned with healthy aging, it's good to be proactive rather than
yes.
reactive. Fatty 15
an ounce of prevention.
And prevention, exactly. Fatty 15 was developed to support healthy aging for all, from kids to parents to grandparents. That's why award-winning Fatty 15 is now available as Pure Capsules, delicious apple mint gummies for teens and adults, and yummy berry blast gummies for kids. Fatty 15 is on a mission to support healthy aging for all, including all ages and stages of life. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/hysteria and using code hysteria at checkout. Hysteria is brought to you by Honeylove. A few years ago, I realized that I was absolutely fed up with painful underwire bras, itchy materials, etc. I am uncomfortable all the time. My children are hanging off of me. I am never allowed to be in peace, and at least my foundational garments can be comfortable, right? That's right. Why I'm so glad Honeylove exists. They make comfortable bras with no slipping, no constant adjusting, just a secure, flattering fit that actually stays in place. The Honeylove crossover bra is my everyday bra, my special occasion bra, and the only bra I feel comfortable sleeping in. That's my litmus test for clothing.
I agree.
Can I sleep in this?
Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand. All Honeylove products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them, including founder Betsy, who is highly involved in the development of each product. Let's be honest, finding the right bra as you get older can feel frustrating. What used to work just doesn't anymore. You want lift, shape, and support, but without stiff wires digging in or bulky padding that feels outdated. That's exactly where Honeylove stands out. Their bras are designed to provide lift and structure using innovative bonding technology instead of uncomfortable underwire. So you get that secure, lifted feel without the poking, pinching, or constant adjusting.
There are a couple bras to keep a lookout for if you're going to peruse the Honeylove site. My favorite bra, the new crossover contour bra.
Just I love
got
that
an
one.
Upgrade. It's a perfect example. You should also check out their Cloud Embrace bra. It is soft, breathable, and incredibly comfortable, but still supportive. Because comfort isn't a luxury. It's a requirement, and support shouldn't mean sacrificing how you feel in your own skin. And it doesn't stop at bras, Alyssa. We know this. You know this. I know this. Honeylove shapewear is especially worth calling out. It's designed to smooth and support without squeezing or restricting, using targeted compression that works with your body. It stays in place and moves with you and gives you that extra confidence under everything from everyday outfits to special occasions. Wedding season, ongoing. Year-round now.
Ongoing. I have one in August.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a tricky time. But Honeylove shapewear, if it's a shapewear occasion, easy peasy, you're not going to be like pinching and pulling and readjusting.
And doesn't make me sweat profusely.
At the end of the day, this isn't about changing your body. It's about supporting it in a way that actually feels good. And Honeylove delivers that at every stage. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/hysteria. That's honeylove.com/hysteria. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove. And we're back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that demands justice for the buttons on Andrew Tate's shirt. I mentioned in the intro to the show that the best Halloween costumes of 2026 are already in the can. And those costumes are Andrew and Tristan Tate getting arrested. Ladies.
Yikes.
All you need like a plum button down.
Plum button down?
You need great tits. But Halloween is for the tits, right? If you've
always
got good tits, you want them out. If they're almost as nice as Andrew Tate's, you should like use it as an excuse show off the
cleat. Be a slutty Tate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tate was dressed slutty.
He was dressed slutty.
He was wearing like his little britches.
His
little britches.
Capri pants.
His little capris. And he was wearing his little slides.
Dainty
his,
shoes.
His fancy little slides. And like Tristan Tate, they're just, they're funny. Okay.
They're horribly disgusting people. But the online outcry over their outfits was some of the funniest shit I
funny.
Saw. They bought it with their Kohl's cash. Did you get that from Chico's? Someone said the sassiest paralegal in the law firm.
I feel like Contempo Casuals.
Yes.
You could have definitely bought that whole outfit. But the stylist would be like, I would not pair those two things together
right.
at Contempo Casuals. But you would have been able, at the height of Contempo Casuals, you would have been able to buy the like silky purple top
right.
that can be like buttoned in such a way that it plunges.
We, long ago, many years in the White House, had a friend who tried to get on a muscle building diet. And what he
was
didn't,
it Pfeiffer?
No, no. But what he didn't realize was that he was just getting fat. He was just gaining weight. And at one point, they're like, Alyssa, you have to tell him what's happening. Like, you have to be the one to go in. And all I did was I went in and I said, person, your buttons are screaming for help. Like they were holding on by a thing. And that, when I saw that, I was like, oh, his buttons gave up.
His buttons are just like.
He bought a women's, someone was saying, it's like a women's medium.
Yeah.
His shirt was like a women's medium.
Yeah.
And this was like, the button he could get was down here.
Uh-huh.
And the rest was just screaming for help.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It was like when I was pregnant and the part of being pregnant where my boobs just got huge.
Yeah.
But like the rest of my body wasn't huge yet, but my boobs got huge. And it was just like,
hanging on for
like,
dear life.
Yeah.
Hanging on for dear life.
But yeah, he's really, he's been arrested. If you're blessed enough to not be aware of the Tate brothers, we're going to give you a quick rundown. We're not going to get granular because that shit's
dark.
Pretty dark.
Dark.
But before he became the Manosphere poster child, Andrew Tate was a kickboxer. He was a guy who got kicked in the head professionally,
yep.
who also appeared on Big Brother UK in 2016. He was kicked off the show right. after 6 days when video surfaced where he appeared to be hitting a woman with a belt.
That's problematic.
But cancel culture didn't work. He began to build a social media empire by showing off wealth and preaching toxic masculinity. Now, I must say, recall that New York Magazine article about how the feed is fake.
Right.
It mentioned in that New York Magazine article about the way that like the feed and the algorithm is manipulated, it indicated that some of Andrew Tate's rise to popularity was probably manufactured.
Yeah.
It was probably artificial and it eventually kind of snowballed. So whatever popularity we think he has, it's probably less in real life than
right.
he actually has. But anyway, he's got 10 million followers on Twitter. Who knows how
allegedly.
Many of them are bots. His less famous but also grotesque brother, Tristan, the Fredo of the Tate family,
right.
I guess, also appeared on a less relevant British reality show, Shipwrecked. And he rode his brother's coattails. His coattails in the copy, but I'm going to say dick. He rode his brother's dick to fame. And they aren't all talk. They have an extensive track record of really awful crimes against women, violence, rape, sex trafficking, including of minors. The accusations are really, really gross, like I said. So if you really want to get granular, you can do that.
It's frankly as bad as you think it could be.
Rabbit hole at your own risk.
Yeah.
So the latest is over the weekend, the Tates were arrested at a bare-knuckle boxing event in Miami.
Sexy.
Where they were dressed ridiculously after British authorities filed new sex trafficking and rape charges against them. Sounds like these guys are just like incapable
bad.
Of learning their lessons.
Really bad.
I mean, this is what happens with high testosterone and getting hit in the head over and over again. Head injuries plus testosterone equals just like
rage, violent,
dumb ass rage machines
yeah.
that can't button their own clothes up.
Button your clothes.
If this feels like deja vu, it's because they already had dozens of charges against them in the UK, and the new ones this week bring the total up to 59 between the two brothers, just 10 off from the nice number.
Just six.
I think they can get to 69.
Well, they're catching up to Donald Trump.
They're catching up to Donald Trump. They also have an ongoing human trafficking and organized crime case in Romania.
Mm.
Has to be pretty bad.
Yeah, the Romanians aren't done with them.
Yeah, which complicates things. They served jail time in Romania in 2022. And then in 2023, they were moved to house arrest, and in 2025, their travel restriction was lifted, and they relocated to Miami under judicial supervision. The case is still ongoing, and a Romanian court ruled in 2024 that the brothers could not be extradited to the UK until the case concluded. But the U.S. is not bound by that agreement and can still extradite them to the UK.
Yeah.
They appeared in federal court in Miami on Monday, looking ridiculous.
Their lawyer also looking ridiculous.
Looking ridiculous. It is like the most – it's like everything – bad that you think about Miami. And
yes.
these guys are transplants, right? I feel
right.
like most cities that have like a reputation of like douchiness, it's carried by the transplants. Like in LA, people
yes.
think LA is like whatever. People who are born and raised in LA are not superficial. They're
right.
like cool, normal people. People who are born and raised in Miami, not. But the Tate brothers are sort of like this cartoon version of like the Miami.
The worst.
Yeah, it's like a club promoter combined with like a drug dealer combined with, like, a cam
yes.
person. Anyway, their lawyer, his name is Joseph McBride. He represented some J6ers, and he claims the charges are politically motivated and that the UK's extradition request interferes with their other pending proceedings.
Too bad, though.
Yeah. And the Trump administration, despite kind of cozying up to the type of people that are fans of the Tates, has indicated that they're not going to interfere with the extradition.
Nope.
So
don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Yeah.
To the other side of the pond they go.
Well, here's something funny and sad. Despite the millions of followers, the New York Times reported there was only one male supporter outside of the courthouse with a sign calling the Tates heroes.
Sad.
You know, maybe the men would be less lonely if they would get together and support the Tates.
Get a little arts and crafts together, have a sign-making party.
Do you think the internet numbers, like, how, to what extent do you think their popularity is inflated?
A lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. Like, I mean, obviously they made money, right? That's how they got
rich.
Somehow. But, I mean, look, Erin, we both lived in media in the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are, like, pretty fungible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, back then, it was Google Analytics, and
it was
pretty easy
to buy. Like, I know that where I
there
I never,
were ways you could juice your numbers.
Yes,
there always were.
And where I worked, we were pretty adamant about not doing that. But there were places that notoriously did.
Yeah,
and I think you and I know which
we know we're talking about. We know we're talking about. But even like one of the things this reading this made me think of was like. In the show Succession, when Lucas Madsen is about to acquire all of Royster Waco, and it comes out that all of his India numbers are just a lie. Like, all of his India subscribers, like, they don't exist.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that there's a lot of that in this, too, because they goose their numbers. So they get advertising based on that, and it's not real, and people buy their supplements, and I guess it'd be nice to think that misogyny didn't make this much money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it obviously is fairly lucrative, but I just don't think it's as lucrative as they indicate. And also, they're just so fucking corny. I know we just got done talking about, like, ridiculous men, but they're ridiculous.
They're ridiculous.
They're ridiculous men. And, like, they're ridiculous men who I feel like that sort of masculinity, the type of masculinity they preach is antithetical to what it means to be a human being. And I am going to sound Goebbels adjacent here.
Okay.
But I truly believe that violent people, most of whom are men, but there are some violent women, but most of whom are men, violent people need to be expelled from society and not allowed to reproduce. Like, actual people who have violence, like people who perpetually are harming other people, it is antisocial. Human beings are social animals. We are supposed to coexist socially. We are supposed to help each other.
Right.
That is what our species, that is what our species is. That is why our species survived. We cannot let a ethos of destruction and domination shepherd our species. We cannot do it. They need to be completely put on an island and left to destroy each other, like a Lord of the Flies
island. Literally the conceit in the Odyssey.
I mean, it's like, but seriously, you know?
It's like the world was ruined when they broke Zeus's law about hospitality and being kind to your neighbors and letting someone in because you never know who's a god.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were just islands with ragey men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we need to go back to doing that. And I think we need to have Tate Island. Let them practice kissing on each other or
whatever.
Let's
get Cersei on this.
Let's get Cersei. Where is Cersei?
She needs to come back.
Who plays her? Samantha Morton?
Samantha Morton.
And she's amazing, right?
Unbelievable.
I am excited to watch
this. She is as brutal as that scene is to watch. You're like, get him. Mm-hmm. You're like, get him. It's very, very heartening.
My introduction to the Odyssey was the DuckTales episode. That was the Odyssey episode of the DuckTales. It is a fucking amazing episode.
Was there really?
There was a DuckTales episode. There was. I remember like being haunted by the sirens. They're like this.
Of course, these ladies, Sirens Island.
Yeah, and they were like attached to this like scary sea monster. Anyway, it was really
yes. So syphilis, whatever. Not syphilis, but it sounds something like that. But it's funny because when we saw the movie, I crowdsourced my friends from middle school and high school. And I was like, did I make this up? We read this in seventh grade. They were like, no, we read it in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, right. And we did skits. So we did Nausicaa and the Sirens in Filene's basement sheets that we made into togas.
Of course.
But then my friend reminded me of the other part of this 4-month thing we did on the Odyssey. We made dioramas depicting our favorite scene. Think about like
how— That is not for kids.
How
that is
crazy—
not-
The Odyssey is. And we were like, here's my Cyclops diorama. I made it with Play-Doh. And
Oh my gosh,
it was
so funny.
Hilarious. I asked my friend, I asked Gaffney, I was like, do you have yours still? She's like, it may be somewhere. Oh, because yes, so we made Odyssey dioramas.
Oh my God, that's so funny. When I was in college, I studied in Greece and
oh, that's right, you did.
Yeah, yeah. And like my program, like we went all over the country and stuff like that. And we drove past like where Thermopylae happened.
Oh, yeah.
And it was before the movie The 300.
Uh-huh.
And I remember like I had a friend, my friend Jack was like reading this book that was like about The 300. And he was like telling everybody about it. And he's like, this should be a movie. And then it was a movie. Anyway, I feel like the Tate brothers saw the movie through The 300 and they're like, we are basically Spartans, but really all they are fucking douchebags.
They're douchebags.
Because I can't imagine that they would do anything like brave when faced with like adversity.
They're violent, depraved douchebags.
Mm-hmm. I think the Spartans were probably a little douchey.
Yeah,
they at least had honor. They all like fought together until the very last one of them was killed. Like
I'll tell you the one heartening thing about all the Odyssey discourse is I'm like, how are there so many Odyssey experts on TikTok? I'm like, this is incredible. And they're nerds.
Uh-huh.
Like, they are straight nerds. They're people who have maybe never made a TikTok, but they were like, now is my fucking moment.
Yeah.
And people don't study
the classics anymore.
I can watch it all day.
Yeah.
It was really wonderful.
Well, now you've really sold me on this movie. And I feel like that's a more upbeat way to end this Tate brothers getting arrested thing.
Yeah, but I see the Odyssey.
Yeah, I do think, like, I've been really inspired by, like, just looking at their silly little outfits. And I really want to do a, like, by the look. I want to source like the cut stylist style where I'm like, here's how to get the look. And then, but I think like bald cap.
You could bring me back for Halloween and we could do it right.
Do you want to be the Tate brothers?
I'm just saying, I think we'd kill it.
Well, you know that you're free to come back whenever you want.
If
you happened to be here.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be right before the election.
It might be fun.
We should be the Tate brothers.
Okay.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right. We're going to take a quick break now that we've settled our Halloween costumes
for the year. 6 months early.
6 months. Wait, no. It's July.
It's like 3 months early.
3 months. Oh, my God.
Jeez.
The election's got
to get them out.
Holy shit.
Purple shirts are going to be sold out.
I know. Back order. All right. We're going to take a break so that we can order our purple shirts, but we'll be back with more hysteria.
Hysteria is brought to you by Willie's Remedy. Are you tired of waking up hungover and worrying about what happened last night? Nope, because I drink Willie's Remedy. Well, if you do, now you can have fun and relax without any of the regrets with Willie's THC-infused social tonic, which is delicious. For anyone trying to be more intentional this year, Willie's gives you that social uplifting buzz without breaking your goals. Willie's is a premium THC-infused social tonic crafted by the legendary Willie Nelson. Inspired by Willie's way of living where peace flows freely and hangovers are a thing of the past.
I'm imagining Willie Nelson in a lab coat. With like goggles. He's
living.
He's putting together this special remedy that honors
And he's like, a touch more euphoria. It is a low-calorie, low-sugar alcohol alternative that actually works, delivering a fast-acting, euphoric social buzz without the regrets that come with alcohol. Willie's social tonics come in 5-milligram and 10-milligram doses with a best-in-class flavor experience, so smooth and balanced, you barely realize you're drinking a THC product at all. You can enjoy the tonics as a shot, sipped over ice, or mixed into your favorite mocktail. Willie's is not that feared edible you ate too much of in college. Each bottle of Willie's is third-party lab-tested for accurate dosage, so you can trust and customize your experience. Willie's unique blend of THC, CBD, CBG, and L-theanine delivers a feeling of calm, clarity, euphoria, and relaxation. One shot of Willie's helps you relax, unwind, and de-stress. Willie ships directly to your doorstep in over 40 states and has sold out 3 times in the first 6 months with over 300,000 happy customers. So order now at drinkwillies.com and use code Hysteria for 20% off your first order and free shipping on orders over $95 and live like a legend.
Hysteria is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is America's largest and most trusted online nursery with thousands of trees and plants and over 2 million happy customers?
Knew it.
They have all the plants your yard or home needs, including fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and houseplants, all grown with care and guaranteed to arrive healthy. It's like your local nursery, but anywhere you live, with more plants than you'll find anywhere else. Alyssa, how are your fast-growing trees doing?
I got flowers, might see some fruit. Well, TBD.
Ooh, TBD. I need you to send me pictures when
I will.
There are fruit flowers. Whatever you're looking for, fast-growing trees helps you find options that actually work for your climate, space, and lifestyle. Fast-growing trees make it easy to get your dream yard. Just click, order, grow, and get healthy, thriving plants delivered to your door. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee promises that your plants arrive healthy and happy. No green thumb required, just quality plants you can count on. Plus, get ongoing support from trained plant experts who can help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them every step of the way. You know, it can be a little bit overwhelming to try to get into gardening, especially if you're living in a place where you didn't grow up, or you didn't grow up gardening, or maybe you grew up like in an apartment and you didn't have a yard or whatever. But it is so helpful to consult the plant experts at Fast Growing Trees that will make you feel like you know what you're doing, even if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You can get recommendations for your specific USDA climate zone, which I didn't realize was such a huge thing. Like, I moved to a much hotter and drier USDA zone. And when I first was here, I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And Fast Growing Trees offers expertise for people who are like me and are like, how do I grow it? Right now, they have great deals on spring planting essentials, up to half off select plants. And listeners to our show get 20% off their first purchase when using the code Hysteria at checkout. That's an additional 20% off better plants and better growing at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Hysteria at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Hysteria. Now is the perfect time to plant. Let's grow together. Use Hysteria to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are intrigued by the Zara death pants. There is something called Zara death pants.
What are they for?
They're for death, I guess. No,
what?
they're just pants that are really like wide-legged and cut long.
Oh, those are insane.
Yeah.
They are death pants.
Because if you're not like built like a stork, you have.
When I saw the death pants, I was like, oh, that's how I would break out my front three teeth walking down the stairs to do laundry.
Mm-hmm. You would Natasha yourself?
Yes. They're just exactly.
Wow. Specific reference.
I feel like everybody who watched that episode of Sex and the City where Natasha is chasing Carrie out of Big's apartment and she trips and falls down the stairs and chips her teeth.
What are clearly marble stairs.
Yeah.
I can't watch that episode.
I feel like everybody. I think it made an impression.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Zara death pants. We're not going to be buying them, but I'm glad they exist because it gives me a chance to say Zara death pants.
Zara death
like,
pants.
Sounds like an incantation, like a witchy. And we're in a kind of coven setup right here.
We are in a coven.
You might notice we've got some glasses of bubbly.
Got little bubbles.
You've got coffee and bubbles, which is a bad combo. But
I am. Well, I'm done with the coffee now.
Okay. Well, thank you for keeping the branding front and center.
I kept it legit.
Yeah, up to the last episode. As we mentioned, it's Alyssa's last episode as the permanent co-host.
Right.
She will be back.
Yeah, we keep saying that. It is true. This is, we're just, you know, got to go try new things.
Yeah.
Got to go do new things.
Let's
now we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, Caroline Reston is here.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yes. For this segment, we want to have some fun.
Just so you're like, wait,
someone has been here all along the way. Our senior producer, Caroline Reston. Welcome, Caroline.
Hi, Alyssa, Aaron, thanks for welcoming me. Just in case you didn't and people didn't remember my voice, which is totally fair, just thought I'd
after a
third
year,
person
they
myself.
They do.
I just really wanted to force my way in just for a few minutes because, you know, I'll miss you and I love you both. So I really, you know.
You Dick Cheney'd yourself.
I did. I am the new co-host of this show. No, I'm not.
That would actually probably work, but.
No, it wouldn't. It would not work.
We were also reminiscing about a time early in Caroline's tenure here because she's been at Crooked for almost as long as Hysteria has been at Crooked. Mm-hmm. And she was having a rough day at work, came over to my house, and we had wine at like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
So we're recreating the moment.
Yeah.
Exactly. Except for this time earlier. We're going 10 p.m.
It's 10 a.m.
champagne.
Yeah, 10 a.m. But that's brunch time.
No, it is. It is a perfectly acceptable time.
Completely acceptable.
Any alcohol that's clear or like light in some way is acceptable before noon.
You have
tequila?
So many rules.
Is that a rule? That's like more of like a guideline. I mean,
you just kind of like made it up.
Well, I mean, I guess. Yeah, a tequila brunch drink.
Well, tell me a Bloody Mary.
Vodka. Well, but that's vodka. In a
but
dark,
the drink's not clear.
Yeah, no, but it's, the spirit of the alcohol.
Oh, so you're just saying no bourbon.
Yeah,
oh,
or whiskey.
Or whiskey. Okay. That's what that's okay, where things get problematic.
Goes in your coffee. You know, this rule does not track.
Well, you know, we're talking it out. We're talking out. Oh, yeah. Cheers to Alyssa.
Cheers to Alyssa.
Everybody.
To everybody.
To you
the
both.
Show. All right. So what are we doing?
Caroline's in charge.
Oh, okay. So I'm in charge. So we are originally going to just like take fun questions out of a tin and like answer questions. And then after my various reminders to Erin, she did forget the tin.
So we don't have the tin.
My older daughter was being a butt. She's 4 and a half and she was being a real butt this morning.
Look.
And I just was like, put your shoes on, put your shoes on, put your shoes on, put your shoes on. And I don't know.
It doesn't matter. So luckily we have a computer and you can just like read some from the computer.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was like a... We've done this before in the past where we just like kind of ask fun questions and then, you know, it's like an episode of The Housewives where they play games at the table, but then something more fun comes from the original questions.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I'm going to start with a classic Housewives question.
Okay.
Who in the circle do you trust the least? No, I'm kidding. that is a classic, by the way.
Oh, my
that
God.
That's meant to get a table flip.
The answer is myself.
That's a good one.
Same.
That's the way to get out of
definitely.
That question.
Same. Wow. Totally untrustworthy.
okay, wait. So actually kind of like inspired by the Odyssey question. I know this is a different type of people, but what's your Roman Empire?
Oh, the thing you think about the most.
The thing you think about the most.
The thing I think about the most.
Ancient Egypt. 100% ancient
Egypt.
Wow,
we're going totally different places.
Yeah. Like the gods and goddesses. I used to have like the king list memorized. Like all of the pharaohs that have been written down, I had it memorized and I knew how long they'd been in power. Not for like fun.
Right.
I took a class in college as like an elective, an Egyptology class. And part of it was like our final exam, if we wanted like extra credit, we had to fill out the king list in order and how many, roughly how long their reigns were. And I got it right.
Wow.
I know. That's like, it's like a hyperfixation for me.
I get that.
Do you ever dabble in the conspiracies that, like, aliens built the pyramids?
No, not whatsoever.
That seems insane.
No, no.
Well, the fact that they built those pyramids seem insane to me.
Well, I've seen them. I've
been to the pyramids.
It is, like, the most impressive human-made thing I've ever seen.
Did
it
take, like, over 1,000 years?
The Old Kingdom is when they made the pyramids. So, like, the pyramids were, like, 4,000, 5,000 years old. They're insane. It was, like, a series of ramps. And it was, pretty crazy.
And the thing that's just sad is that the ones for the women are much smaller.
Yeah. But because of that, in like the tombs of the valley, or like there's the Valley of the Kings and the Valley of the Queens, some of the more showy tombs were more likely to be raided. And Victorians thought that you should eat mummies. So a lot of the mummies were eaten.
Oh, wow.
That's true.
There are some really good documentaries on
eating mummies?
No. On like Egyptology and stuff on Netflix that are really good.
Yeah. I also like in my sub fixation is on Hatshepsut, the queen of Egypt, she was a female pharaoh.
Yeah.
And she was, Deir el-Bari was a monument that was made for her by her lover, who was the chief architect of like her kingdom. And it's like that place that has all the columns. You would probably recognize it if you saw it. It's like down the Nile a ways. It's like got a bunch of columns and it's just this beautiful monument. And she was depicted in a lot of art with a penis because
really?
She was, and as a man, because she was a pharaoh and she wanted to have like the illusion of power. Anyway, I could go off on Hatshepsut for a long time.
That's incredible.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. I can't believe I barely talk about it on the show.
I've never heard you once talk about Egyptology.
We should have had a whole segment over 8 years.
Well,
on
they
this.
Also like worshipped cats.
They did very much so.
Yeah, they had like several cat gods. My favorite one is there's a lion goddess named Sekhmet, who is the goddess of war and menstruation.
The tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
See, you just made me think of this thing I saw where they took our boyfriend Erling Haaland and they they did all of the phases of a women's cycle, but as Erling.
That's so funny. It was, luteal.
Yeah, the luteal. It was really, I was like, that's amazing.
Wait, what's your fixation? What's your like
romantic? Oh, so mine is so trite. So for many years when I was growing up, it was the friendship between Lucille Ball and Vivian Vance. because there's this podcast that came out years ago, which was based, they turned it into a podcast, but it was just interviews that Lucille Ball did in the 1960s for CBS, and they turned them into a podcast. And it was wild because it's the most famous people of the time. But the best interview is with Lucille and Vivian, and they're literally just talking about, like, their homes, like, and how they clean. And it's, like, so clear that they don't have housekeepers and, like, how they keep their houses clean. But then when I, like, really thought about what is my Roman Empire and what I think about way too much, it's the friendship between Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
That's not what I was expecting you to say.
That's so funny.
It is so – so you need to understand, when I was a tiny baby cat, I'm a senior at the University of Wisconsin, Good Will Hunting has come out. We saw it so many times, and on a cold night, we watched the Oscars when they won. And I was like, so inspired. I was like, I can be them. Like, I can be them someday. Mm-hmm. And so ever since then, there is nothing that they have done that I have not, like, watched, rooted. But, like, when they have these shows that come out, it's like Matt Damon on fucking Amy Poehler. Mm. Oh my God, inject it into my veins. It's like, it's like just the other night. And now I just, because, especially because Matt has a movie out now, they have, like, their baby pictures from when they were little friends in Cambridge. And I think that what they have done, and, like, the thing that I think is the greatest about them in general, everything, is that I think that they have seemed to move through this world as smart, kind people who are interesting and try to tell.
A little bit of a question mark on Ben sometimes.
Yeah, Ben, I think that Matt seems more solidly.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben's had struggles.
Right, right. Which have led to question marks.
Ben's
which
had
have
struggles.
Also led to some iconic photos of him looking like he's struggling.
Like, just still smoke. I mean, he still smokes. That's all we need to know. Yeah. Like, he's still struggling.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, now they have this, like, lovely, after all these years, they were like, we grew up. They were two kids who went to, like, dance class, like, acting classes when they were 14 years old together. They would take the bus to New York City together to take these classes. And they become talented all these years. And it was only, like, a couple years ago they were like, we got into this business to do it together. So, like, let's form a company. Mm-hmm. And they formed a company. And the person who kind of runs it is Matt's wife. And I just think it's I just want that. We have that.
Okay. What are you trying to tell me?
I'm just saying.
We could.
Production company's next.
Life is long.
Life is long. And the fact that they got into something together and then had all these other projects and then were like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We love this. Mm-hmm. Let's do something together.
Mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr. and his wife run their production company.
You know them.
I kind of know them because I was working on a project for them right before the shutdown. And she's so impressive. Like, I don't want to sound like a Hollywood blowing smoke
up
somebody's ass.
Yeah, but whatever. It's true.
But she was so, like, hands-on, so smart, so impressive. And it's like, that is awesome that the two people of that talent found each other and they're able to work together.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. That's super cool.
And it's like in a world that feels very, like, fake. I just think they're not. They have, like, this lovely thing and they've come together and, you know, it was funny because when Matt got the role of Odysseus, he texted his wife and she's like, I'm on a Zoom. And so he was like, fuck it. And then he called Ben. Mm-hmm. And Ben and his wife were working together. And he goes in, he's like, you got the role. And she texted him, why didn't you tell me first? And I was like, I love everything about this.
Oh,
I love it.
What's yours, so Caroline?
I have truly so many, but if I'm like, like I get very hyper fixated on things. My runner up would be just like Marie Antoinette and justice for her in general, but probably Titanic.
Ooh.
And like the actual event, the movie too, I love, love, love the movie, but the actual event I've always been obsessed with. I've written research papers on it.
You see the movie when it came out?
Of course.
How many times?
How old were you?
I was like, Nine, 10 years old.
How many times did you see
it? Oh, so many.
I was in college, FYI.
So many times. And then I bought it on VHS and it was the two parts. But what I think, I'm not the only person who's like super obsessed with Titanic. By the way, a new Hulu documentary that does a minute by minute play of like actor reenactments of the sinking on Hulu right now. It's really good.
Is it? But how did the actor reenactments
work? Oh my God, they're so good. And they're doing like God, my dream is to be an actor in like a history reenactment like documentary.
Okay.
So essentially,
okay,
like
that
they took
feasible.
They took all the like interviews that happened post Titanic of like survivors, and they have actors portraying the survivors and like doing direct to camera interviews while they're reenacting their moments. It's pretty amazing. There are a lot of stories that I learned that I wasn't already aware of. But I think people are really obsessed with Titanic because it is really kind of just a timeless, depressing story of classism. Mm-hmm.
And hubris.
And yeah. Hubris.
And
I mean, the guy had one job.
Of classism. And then like the horror, this is, didn't mean to turn it dark, but like the horrible reality that death like is the great equalizer, like class can like help you survive, but in the end, nothing fucking matters. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a, it's a really, I'm obsessed with Titanic, always have been. Mm-hmm. I just, that's definitely my Roman Empire.
What is it specifically about the Titanic though?
Well, no, I think it's like the individual stories. I think it's just like, I mean, I love true crime, obviously. Yeah. So like the darkness, the morbidness of it, mm-hmm. the fact that so many things could have happened to avoid the situation. Mm-hmm. Like there was a boat like 4 miles away that they were like, hello, help, 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 help. But they just couldn't get the signals right. Or they were misunderstanding each other's Morse codes.
They didn't have enough lifeboats. Mm.
They didn't have enough lifeboats. There are just so many small things that if they did it differently, it wouldn't have happened. And I genuinely wonder like how different culture would be if Titanic didn't happen. Because mm-hmm. it is just such a fixation in like everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love Titanic.
Okay,
it's
a
beautiful
a
ship. It's a ship of dreams.
Okay, that's a good one.
Also, those tickets were fucking expensive.
Yeah, they were.
Like, if you translate it now, I'm like, oh, I'd be first class. And then I got the tickets. I'm like, oh, no, my ass would be in steerage.
Oh, yeah, no, that was, I mean, it was like the way to try to travel the.
Well, and the other sad thing, and then we can move on, is that a lot of the passengers in third class were rerouted to Titanic from other ships. And they were all like immigrants who had brought everything with them to move to America, who lost everything, lost their lives. Like we were so like concentrated on like the rich people on the ship, but like half the people who were there weren't even like meant to be on that ship. It's really sad.
Ugh.
Well, anyways, what's the first concert?
Telling their stories.
What's the first concert?
Yeah.
First concert I ever went to? Oh my God. When I was in high school, I like was into like pop punk because it was
like an arena concert or any concert.
Yeah.
Like someone who's famous, not like a boyfriend's band.
Oh, it was like
pop-punk so you're
bands,
telling me not to talk about my jam bands. Okay. Understood.
God, I don't remember. Because I wasn't really like allowed to go to concerts. I wanted to go to Lilith Fair, but my mom was afraid that I would see lesbians there.
Become one.
Oh my God. Imagine. Yeah.
If I would have seen a lesbian.
If you would have seen a lesbian, what would have happened?
I don't know.
They were everywhere.
It's probably like something in college, but I don't really have a real memory of it. Maybe like Umphrey's McGee or something like that.
Oh, wow.
I don't know who that is.
It's like a jam adjacent band.
Yeah, it
or
is.
Maybe
no,
it was like Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Umphrey's McGee, Umphrey's McGee is like a horde tour late 90s with like Spin Doctors, mm-hmm. Aquarian Rescue Unit, all the.
Yeah, like men who wear like ski hats with the flaps out in the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was yours?
So I saw a lot of Fish, obviously.
How long were those concerts?
Fish? 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I saw a lot of Fish. I saw maybe at God Street Wine, but that probably does not count in your thing. I think, my first arena band was Aerosmith with Four Ooh. Non-Blondes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
We were so drunk. Yeah, it was really weird. We saw it. It's now, I don't know what the theater's called anymore, but back then it was the Knickerbocker. And then the next month, 2 months later, I saw the Grateful Dead with Jerry Garcia still alive.
Fuck. Wow.
That was
crazy. Amazing.
That was a great concert. But yeah, Aerosmith. Aerosmith was a great fucking show.
Yeah.
It was.
Steven Tyler
has
pipes.
Imagine.
He does. And then you know what's funny? I don't know if you guys do this. I have, music really helps me recall things. Mm-hmm. And so a couple weeks later, I had to do a AP exam. And it was AP history. And I had a real feeling that the essay question was going to be like on the Grange movement or populism. Mm-hmm. So I read all of my stuff to the song Dream on loop.
Nice. Oh my God.
And when I got to the AP, it was the question. And I hummed it the whole time. And they were like, is this some witch sorcery? Like, what are you? I was like, it's just helping me concentrate. Got the highest grade on my AP.
And I would have told Aerosmith. On you to the proctor.
There were like five of us in the class. Like, there was not, there wasn't, it's upstate New York. There wasn't like.
Did you ace it?
I did. I got a great, so I always, to this day, I love Aerosmith.
Steven Tyler to thank for that. My first concert was the Spice Girls in the 90s,
that's iconic.
The Spice World Tour.
That's pretty good.
What, were you seven?
Yeah, I was really young. I think I was like 7 or 8. I'm not that much younger than you guys, by the way.
I know. I mean, you are.
Thank you. It was Spice Girls, and my dad took me, and he like years later told me that he was smoking weed with the dad next to him. And I was like, no wonder you enjoyed it so
much. Ballsy.
And he kept going on. Well, it was like an outdoor venue in Mountain View, California. So it's like a lot of smoking going on, which actually is kind of weird because it's a lot of young girls.
Mountain View. That's where the Dead always play.
Oh, yeah. It's a really good venue. Yeah. And it was really amazing.
Spice Girls, if those girls had a reunion.
Well, I went to the reunion in 08. If they had a reunion now, like it is a money is no object type of scenario to get tickets to that show.
Interesting.
Yeah. I would spend anything for them and then anything for Paul McCartney, who I've never seen, which I'm manifesting into this podcast that one day I'll see.
Really?
Never seen him.
Hmm. Interesting.
The one time he was here in Palm Springs, I had a wedding.
Hmm. He was at Taylor Swift's wedding.
I know, I wasn't invited. Who's a celebrity you'd swap lives with for one day and why?
For one day?
Yeah. And let's, can they be alive?
A celebrity that's alive.
Who's alive? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fine. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that one for a second. A celebrity that I'd want to switch lives with for a day. I think, oh God, I don't know.
I think I've got one.
Okay.
I think I would swap lives with Jennifer Garner so that I could go hang out with Ina Garten and Jeffrey in the Hamptons because she just did that. She just posted. So, yeah, I would want to swap lives for Jennifer.
I feel like
Jennifer
that could
Garner.
Be in the cards for you.
I mean, but that's the reason I would want to swap lives with her is that I would want to get in Ina and Jeffrey's convertible and drive to Farm Stands and then have a lovely chicken and a cocktail and some casual dessert. That's what I would want. So that's why I would swap with Jennifer Garner.
I think, you know what, along those lines, I think Martha Stewart, because I just want to know how she like does it all. Like I would want to be in her head and like, okay, so like what's your day look like? Like how do you spend your time? And maybe I can take that back to me and like be better at doing like domestic things.
Yeah.
But yeah, can I steal her brain? Can I like take her memories and like...
Yeah, you get to keep whatever you do that day.
Okay. It's not 100%. Really in the confines of the question, but I guess you can do whatever you want.
She can do whatever.
Kris Jenner is my answer.
Oh, yeah, that would be an interesting one.
One day, fuck you money, travel, shop.
Do you get to keep whatever you buy?
Yeah.
Okay. See, then you can keep your knowledge.
Okay, good.
I can keep Ina's BMW.
What is the most unhinged thing in your search history?
Oh, my God. Yeah, toy box killer tapes. That's the most.
What's a toy box killer tape?
It is the most. Oh, my God. I'll let you explain, Erin.
So there was this, like, sadistic serial killer in New Mexico who was operating in the 90s and 2000s before he was caught. It's a disgusting case. I don't want to go too into it. It was horrifying. But he would play a tape for the women that he captured. And the actual tape has only been played in court before he like got, so like the only people who have heard it are the women who have been captured and the people who are in court because it's so like upsetting. But the transcript of the tape is something that you can find. And I saw like, I was on a Reddit thread and was like, what's the most fucked up thing you've ever read? And a bunch of people were saying that. And I was like, I should read that. And then I Googled it and I was like, I don't think I want to read it.
Right.
If all people on Reddit who are like, Rotten.com primed for like dealing with really upsetting things. I sometimes do this thing where it's like, what I want to like expose myself to something very, very upsetting because it makes whatever's going on in my life seem less
I get upsetting. That. Mm-hmm. I get that.
You know,
that.
Like, okay, I got in a fender bender. Well, guess what? These women were tortured. You right. know what I mean? Like, there's...
it's
like,
all about perspective.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really... So I, like, felt compelled to Google it, and then I just didn't. I didn't, like, open the box, you know? Like,
okay.
So, yeah, that's... And don't. I'm,
don't.
I mean, would never.
I can dive into some dark shit. That is one of the darkest stories I've ever read.
So, yeah, you don't want to. But that's in my search history, because I searched for it, and then I was like, you know what? Mm-mm, I'm not going to do this to myself.
Shit. Carolyn, what's yours?
Mine is also so dark. I get, like I was saying earlier, very hyper-fixated on things. And I feel like most recently I've been very hyper-fixated on the Syrian war. Mm. And I just...
That's why I sent you that podcast.
Yes.
You're welcome.
And I just have gotten into some, like, deep, dark ISIS Reddit threads, ISIS
what
message
the
boards.
Fuck?
Places where I'm like, am I going to get flagged by the CIA?
Yes, you are.
And I'm not engaging. I'm just reading. And that's probably like, I'm like, oh, fuck, I should probably delete this search history. But knowing all my true crime knowledge, nothing's ever deleted from your computer. So mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck, for the next 10 years, don't do anything like terrorist related. Otherwise, they're going to like connect you to it.
That's the reason to not do terrorism. Because like, you don't want to get caught.
Well, if there's anyone like close to me in my life who like goes missing, they're going to like, if they start questioning me, they're going to look at my history and be like, well, there's some tie here.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever need a lawyer.
I know. I got a family full of them, too. Are you a lawyer?
No, or
just
no, but I got the good ones that actually, scare the I'd DOJ when they represent people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guys, my search history is very vanilla. I think that I was actually going to go look at my phone to see if I could come up with something jazzy. But I think that my search history is full of how to kill powder beetles.
Mm.
That's where I've been at. We have like, so my, and this is... something that is hard for me. I do think I have some sort of low-grade OCD, mm-hmm. like where I get fixated on something and I can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I came in and we restored an old barn. And one night I believed that no mitigation had been done on this 150-year-old barn and that we may have critters. Mm-hmm. And I found evidence of what I thought were the critters. And anyway, so I went down a rabbit hole on how to kill powder beetles, which, by the way, is with borax.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That shit works to kill a lot of things.
You paint it on the beams and everything. And then I talked to my contractor, and he was a little bit saucy with me. He's like, they were inspected, mitigated, cleaned, and finished. And I was like, okay, sounds good. Still don't believe you. But that's my how to kill powder beetles. That's it. It's my whole search feed. Sorry. That's not that exciting.
No, it's not. But you know what? It's useful. It's useful because, like, borax can kill a lot of things. And I feel bad when I have to use it to, like, take on ants.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't like to kill things, but I need those things to be gone.
Yeah, that's true.
Turns out we hopefully don't have any, but still.
All right. Well, should we take a quick break and then come back for a victory round, Sandy Petty, with just me and Alyssa putting an exclamation mark on the end of a long run.
Long run.
All right.
Run.
We'll be right back.
This episode of Hysteria is brought to you by Alloy Health. Here's something nobody tells you. The skin changes that start in your 40s aren't just aging, they're hormonal, specifically estrogen loss. Estrogen naturally helps maintain collagen, supports elasticity, and helps keep skin hydrated. As estrogen declines, skin gets thinner, drier, and more crepey. That means your expensive cleanser, retinol moisturizer, none of them were designed to solve a hormonal problem.
I mean, and thank goodness. I don't think that my
thank
face...
Thank goodness. That's not what they're for.
I don't want lotion that's like... Here, put this on your face, and there's some hormones in it, right? Unless
good
I'm
luck.
Specifically—
Don't talk to a doctor.
Right. Unless I need to work with the hormones are not to be messed with. That's why I think Alloy Health is amazing.
I love Alloy. And soon as they introduced their estradiol facial cream, I was like, why not? And
why? I need some of this.
For my very crepey and thinning skin, the answer was the M4 skincare from Alloy, the first head-to-toe line of estriol-powered skincare. Estriol is a safe, gentle, and bioidentical form of estrogen clinically proven to rebuild collagen, restore elasticity, and visibly reduce wrinkles. M4 face cream, yes, I'm one of the 88% of users who saw improved elasticity. M4 body treatment, 95% felt smoother skin. The full line targets face, eyes, body, estrogen-powered skincare everywhere. You'll notice changes. It's prescription strength without the appointments, pharmacy trips, or insurance hassle. HSA and FSA eligible, delivered free to your door. Erin, here's how it works.
Okay.
First, you complete your intake. M4 is available by prescription, so you'll start with a quick online form. Then you get your prescription. You'll be matched with a menopause specialized physician who reviews your intake and prescribes what's right for your skin. Plus, you get $0 unlimited messaging with your doctor, and they always reply pretty quick. M4 delivered to your door. Once approved, your prescription ships straight to you. No pharmacy, no hassle. Try M4 skincare from Alloy and see results in as little as 8 weeks. Head to myalloy.com and use the code Hysteria to get $20 off your first order. Your menopause specialized doctor will tailor your skincare to your needs. Plus, you get $0 unlimited messaging with your doctor. Head to myalloy.com and use code Hysteria to get $20 off your first order.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that knows that friends can come and go, presidents can come and go, but Hysteria family is forever.
That's exactly right.
All right. Before we get into the tiers, some announcements for the class. Crooked Con is our answer to right-wing authoritarianism, a big, welcoming, fun pro-democracy movement. You're coming, right?
Yeah, we're coming.
You're coming. Wait, yeah, Hysteria will be there, but you will be there.
Yes.
So
that's, yes. Press.
That's something to look forward to. So join us in Washington, D.C. on November 5th through 7th, just after the midterms. It's either going to be fun or cathartic or maybe a little of both. We think you'll want to meet all the like-minded folks and see if we can get a functional winning party out of the deal. Join us for more panels across bigger stages, candidate forums, live shows and interviews, organizing events and fun social stuff too. Sounds just crazy enough to work. Go to crookedcon.com for more details and to grab your tickets. All right, now on to one last sanity corner with Alyssa. We need something to keep us sane because we might go insane without you. I'm going to go with my sanity corner first.
Okay.
Okay. It's Xzibit's old cat.
Okay.
The rapper Xzibit of Pimp My Ride fame.
I know. Because of you, I now follow.
Yeah. He has a 20-year-old cat. And as listeners of the show know, that I said goodbye to my 21-year-old yes. cat back in December. And she was like a true bestie. Like she was
She's
a really
ride or die.
But to have a pet for that long requires a level of like love and commitment. And there are plenty of people that can like have love and commitment for their pets and mm-hmm. things just don't work out, you know?
Right.
Like, but, you know, with love and commitment and time and care and energy. And I just feel like watching Xzibit talk about why his cat's 20 years old mm-hmm. Is very cute. Because it's like this man loves this animal. This animal loves this man.
Yes.
Like a cat doesn't live to be 20 by having a shitty owner. And I just like it's super heartwarming. I love men with cats. I love men capable of taking care of things and caring for them and keeping them alive. And I feel like the last sanity corner should be a cat one. What's yours, Alyssa?
Are you ready for mine?
I don't know. Maybe I'll take some more champagne.
Take some more champagne.
Okay.
So mine is a little bit of a toast.
Okay.
A little bit of a, I don't know. In life, you have been my sanity corner.
Are we getting married?
Guys, I got a ring. There's a ring. Can't get on one knee because I've got arthritis, but there's a ring. Okay. Here it goes. I have to read it because I have to. You guys. Oh, God, two words out. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it.
You could do it.
Okay. You guys have occupied such a space in my life and in my heart that I'm worried I'm going to have to go rescue another fucking cat to try to fill the void. Not the void of our relationship, but of this project we've undertaken for the past 8 years. There is no way we can have... This is really funny. There is no way we can have a dramatic goodbye because we will all be drowning in tears, well, too fucking late. Mm-hmm. So let me just say
thank you to the listeners who have supported us, who have sent me strudel recipes. Who have sent me strudel recipes and mostly only gently corrected me over the years. Thanks to Charlotte, Jordan, Rachel, and Claudia, our OGs, who make this show as excellent as it is. To John, John, and Tommy, we've got to throw them in, who have let us do what we love together. Thanks to my sis and my pals Gina and Lindsay, who I don't think have ever missed an episode. To DK, because... To Midge and Eleanor, our podcats, who are undoubtedly besties now sitting in heaven rolling their eyes at us falling apart. Thank you, Claire and Caroline. And Aaron, thank you, and I love you, and that is forever. And also, this won't be the last you'll hear of me, so once again, I'm not dead. But I do feel like we had to put a button on this. Also, may I say that Erling Haaland and Jude Bellingham have nothing on us.
I don't want to, like, step on what you're saying. I tried to write something last night, and I just, like, kept crying, and then I just was, like, crying on Josh. I'll keep it short. I also know that you would just be like, you don't have to keep going on. And
no, it's not true. But I'll do what you're going to do.
I'm a big sister. I have a little sister, and I love my little sister. But being a big sister means that sometimes you get accustomed to, like, not having a sister to look up to. And I feel like I found that in you. Like, you're my sister.
You're my sister.
And, like, I never thought I would have a big sister, and now I really feel like I do.
Forever.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of this they're going to have to cut, but, like—
None of it.
It's been so meaningful and amazing that someone as amazing as you, Alyssa, has given me so much of her time and her energy and her effort. Like, I am so lucky. You are one of the most incredible people on the face of the earth. And the fact that I got to make a show with you for 8 years.
We didn't even know each other.
We didn't even know each other. I got to make a show with you for 8 years. 8 years, Alyssa.
We're so lucky.
We're so fucking lucky. I'm so excited for what you're going to do next. I'm going to miss you every week. But I'm going to bug you, calling you in my car to pick up my daughter.
You know that.
I'm
going to
bug you all the time.
That's the special sauce, man.
Yeah. And I'm going to live in your barn eventually.
Listen, I keep telling you, get on a plane. Make Josh take the girls. Let me pamper you. It is, I think that the thing that's the most important for people to understand is that, you know, I turned 50 and I felt like, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
I may go to directing school. You know, like.
That kicks ass.
You know, I want to learn something new. And it has nothing to do with how much I love you and how lucky we are. We have seen our listeners and each other through the darkest shit. It has been a dark – this is, like, not a
no. –
like production calls sometimes are like, how can – okay, here's the actual news, but what can we do that's not all the actual news? Because the
right.
actual news is so fucking bad.
How do we walk them through it while acknowledging the awfulness, but not,
right.
like, drowning in it.
No. And that is – and, like, you and I in life, we've been through a lot over the past couple of years. I mean, I saw you get married.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get to because COVID. But,
right.
like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I got the phone call.
You were at the Zoom baby shower.
I was at the Zoom baby shower. I mean, I'm finally on patches, and I'm a better person now. And my appendix is gone, so that's not a problem.
Hell
but
yeah.
Like,
fuck that appendix.
Fuck that appendix. But fuck that appendix. But – we are, I don't think there are a lot of people who, let's put it this way. There are a lot of people who have podcasts,
mm-hmm.
but there's only us two. That's it.
All right. God. Well, that's all the time we have.
That's all the time we have, but there'll be more hysteria for you next week.
Oh, now, wait, before we go.
What?
Before we go.
What?
We have a surprise for you, Alyssa.
What?
We want to show you something.
Okay.
We have some friends that couldn't be here today.
Okay.
But that wanted to say something.
Oh, no.
Hi, Alyssa. It's Ina.
Hello, dear pal.
Hi, it's Governor Kathy Hochul.
Alyssa, Mastro Monaco, the coolest name ever.
Congratulations on 8 years of podcasting. Wow, I'm about to start one. 8 years sounds daunting.
Congratulations. One of my favorite podcasts. I loved co-hosting with you.
You know, the first time you reached out to me about being on your podcast, I thought maybe there was some kind of mistake. I thought certainly she couldn't be me.
I may be biased about podcast hosts from New York, I admit it, but you are truly one of the best.
I love talking to you for Hysteria, and I even love more having dinner with you and Kay Tyler at the Mark.
I think you're amazing, hilarious, wonderful, brilliant.
What a beautiful thing it's been to be able to get to know you and hang out with you in Italy.
You make New York proud, and I cannot wait to see what you do next.
You've had an amazing career in different sectors. I can't wait to see what you're going to do next, but it's going to be really fun.
You are, as my mother would say, a pistol. And I'm so glad I met you.
Now we can get together and have that martini or four. Love you.
Big kiss to you. Have a wonderful time and take a vacation.
Whoa. That was very nice. Thank you. Oh.
I'm going to give
it is my bat mitzvah.
I'm going to get up and give Alyssa a hug.
Yeah.
Listeners, we love you. If you want to get in, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com, and there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Thank you, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Reston, Claire Fogarty, Kendra James, Adrian Hill, Alyssa Mastromonaco, and me, Erin Ryan. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Sheng, Mia Kelman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.